Guess who we got on the phone with us?
Oh, what up, man?
Oh, absolutely. Our buddy, our pal, our friend. The man, the myth, the legend, Mr. Paul Preston.
You forgot to say stripper.
Oh, he's a good-looking man. He can do it, too.
Yeah. That's the myth.
No comment. Good to talk to you, brother. How you doing?
What's up, your weekly dose gang? How's it going on your end?
Good, brother. How are you doing?
Oh, you know, just trying to make a dollar.
Yes,
still
sir.
Living indoors, so far so good. Yeah.
That's awesome. I know last time we talked a couple of weeks ago, whatever, you announced that you were engaged and everything. Have you guys started to work on the arrangements for that?
Yeah. No,
yes,
I think I've told you. I can't remember how much I regaled you with that last time, but she was kind enough to say yes, so she can plan what we're doing. Now, obviously,
indeed.
I will help out, but I'm not going to impose it. Whatever she wants to do,
I will show up, and that's it.
Whenever needed,
I'll do whatever she wants me to do. But it's, yeah. I'm not going to impose anything. You're kind enough to say yes; it's all going her way. So, like I may have told you, I have an engagement ring.
Uh-huh.
So clearly, we're doing it how she wants.
Right. There you go.
She said, "Hey, look, I'm announcing I'm off the market. You're going to do the same." So that's what we're doing.
Indeed.
Cool. Have you guys set a date yet, though, or no?
No. If I had money to put on it, I'd say we get married in a national park. But I don't know. She loves those places. We went to 13 of them during the lockdown when there was nothing else to do except the outdoors.
Right.
So. That those kind of mean a lot to us. I'd be curious to see, but
that
again,
is
I'm up
so
for anything.
You guys though. Right, that cool. is totally you guys from all the pictures you posted. Everything. Either that or that museum, that movie museum that we talked about one time.
Oh, the Academy Museum of Motion Pictures.
No. The other. Oh, that'd be good too, though. But the other one where they did all those westerns and stuff.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's a couple of them. There's Lone Pine. If you're ever going up the 395, go to the Lone Pine Film Museum. They shot like 300 westerns there you've never heard of.
Right.
Also, Django Unchained and Iron Man. So it's where he tests the
Is that the one that's north of
Jericho Rockets?
Is that the one that's north of here? It's like an hour drive or 2 hour drive?
Yes, but also adjacent to Joshua Tree in Pioneertown is the Pioneertown Film Museum. Now, Pioneertown was built just to make westerns.
Right.
In fact, you still can't drive down the street. It's walking or horse only.
And
they filmed, what's that Aubrey Plaza movie, Ingrid Goes West, and everything else they shot out there is like a Tom Mix western again that you've never heard of. I gotta go online and just watch like one or two of these westerns they put their heart into back in the day that kind of just went on a pile with 100 billion other of them, but movies are making them all. That'd be fun. On a horse, get married on a horse. That'd
dude, I'll dress up as a cowboy.
Me too.
Yeah.
I'll do it like a motherfucker.
I'll be security. I'll bring my guns and everything.
I could be the town drunk.
Yeah.
He normally
Festus
is.
Silva.
Oh, man. Well, listen, buddy, what we got going for movies?
Well, what do you want to talk about? Light or action movie?
Oh, let's do action.
Yeah, let's roll for some action.
Okay, well, I got to alert you to a movie that came out on April 5th and is already, like, struggling. So it might just be getting – I think it's streaming already. You know those windows are smaller and smaller. So, but you got to see Monkey Man.
I've heard that's really good.
Really?
Yeah, it's badass. Revenge action movie, straight bullseye in terms of like, you killed my family, now I'm going to kill all of you. You know, it's familiar in that respect. But
that
it's set
awesome.
It's set in a world that you maybe not know as well. You know, it's Dev Patel made it, so it's set in India, in a big city. I don't know if they mentioned the specific city. I can't recall. Either way, it's like, you know, just big Slumdog Millionaire type city with rich palaces and, you know, skyscrapers and then like the slums, and all this action takes place in that whole world, which was new because it's a little different than like Bollywood, which shoots over there, but they're kind of just cheesy and, you know, they dance and stuff. This is like gritty John Wick type action. And a mix of characters you're not used to seeing in an action movie either. This visceral, at least. So, and oh, very satisfying. Just, just, you know, he's going to kill everybody. It's the best. But I think Amazon and Apple TV Plus, you can rent it already. So, but either way, if you can get to the theater, it's you know, it's big. It's produced by Jordan Peele, who continues to like amaze outside of the genre that put him on the map. You know, but this is a new one. It's not even the horror stuff that he's directed three times, and Nope was kind of even sci-fi. But this is, you know, the straight up action. And Dev Patel, who I mentioned, if you may remember, he was the lead in Slumdog Millionaire. He was in Newsroom.
Lion.
Yeah. Yep. But he is he hasn't exactly jacked up, but he looks good, and he learned what to do, and he shoots. Yeah. It's his directorial debut. Like, I don't even know where any of this stuff is coming from.
Wow.
And there's a real sense of place. It's just, you know, a place you don't want to be. So, yeah, it's fun. The slow crawl to get close to the people he needs to get his revenge on, pretending he's this guy and doing all this stuff. And do you know who Charlto Copley is?
No. Tell us.
My buddy Adam and I at the movie guys came up with a rule the other day, the Han Solo rule, because Star Wars is already the greatest movie you've ever seen. Wow. Then Han Solo shows up, right? And so, like, it's, wow. Superman did the same thing. We saw that recently. That movie's already in a great movie. And then Gene Hackman shows up. So, now, Charlto Copley is the lead actor in District 9, which I'm sure you guys have probably all seen.
Oh, yeah.
South African actor. But then he tends to just show up in movies where you don't expect him, and he's great in every single one of them. Free Fire, Maleficent, Hardcore Henry, which is a severely
awesome
underrated
movie.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Such
really
a great
good
movie,
freaking
right?
movie, man. Like, it's so underrated.
Big time. Yeah. And I thought maybe he'd go to higher celebrity status after he played Murdoch in 18.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's right. Neeson. Yeah.
Yeah. But he's still, it's kind of fun that he's not so just like appearing in these hack movies. He shows up in stuff like this. And now, so that's a different rule of the Han Solo rule. As soon as you see Charlto Copley, even if it's early in the movie, you know, that part of the movie is going to be great.
Yeah.
Luckily, the whole movie is great. But Charlto showing up, it's always like, oh, this is going to be fun, because he is a unique actor, makes big choices, and he's fun to watch. And he's only a small supporting role here, but if somebody's on screen, you're like, oh, this guy's fun. He's like a guy who runs these fighting rings that the Monkey Man, he doesn't even have a name in the movie. I think he's just called The Kid or whatever. He goes in to like make money and getting to know people and work his way through this seedy underbelly of the city to get his revenge. So if this is the only time Dev Patel is in a movie like this, because he's got a varied career, you know, from TV to drama to, you know, all sorts of crazy stuff. This, he at least went all out. He went all out, so yeah, highly impressive. Dopey shit like Godzilla and Kong or whatever has made 16 times the movie that this movie has made. But keeping the budget low means he's going to win. It costs like $10 million. It's only made 30, but that's already went three times the budget.
Yeah, he's already winning as far as profit wise.
Yeah, a DC movie makes $30 million. It's a tremendous failure because they overspent. So this is entertaining as hell. Highly recommend it. Dev Patel, surprising. So there you go. Check that one out. Monkey Man. You'll have satisfied revenge vibes.
Cool. There's been a lot of documentary. We were talking about the Bon Jovi documentary earlier, and I just saw another trailer. Ron Howard's coming out with one.
What is his documentary about?
Jim Henson.
Oh, yeah, I heard about that.
Yeah, coming out and everything.
Yeah, I just saw that last night. And they're using, like, real footage and stuff like that. It's, like, a real cool-looking show.
Yeah, exactly, and given the history of him. But there's one about Steve Martin, too. Do you know anything about that one?
There are two about Steve Martin. It's called Steve Martin, A Documentary in Two Pieces. Oh. It's two 90-minute films about Steve Martin, because if you think about his career, it's essentially two different careers. Like, he stopped doing stand-up, like, on a dime and switched to movies.
Right.
And so the first documentary is about the stand-up years. Yeah, and then Saturday Night Live and all that kind of stuff. And the second is just Steve Martin, movie star, and then all the other things, and now TV star, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And these are different documentaries. Same director, Morgan Neville. He made 20 Feet from Stardom and Won't You Be My Neighbor. I think he won an Oscar for Stardom. But so yeah, it pays to make them each be have a different feel to them. The first one, the stand-up one, is actually less funny.
Wow.
But Steve Martin is also a guy you may know if you're a fan. Like, I'm a huge fan. He's a guy we just never got close to. You know, it's kind of, it wasn't his thing to be like, here's my comedy. Even his stand-up was never about, you know, I got this girlfriend who blah, blah, blah. You know, he did these prepared pieces of, like, absurdist comedy and delivered them.
Right.
Which is a kind of comedy I really like, and one I emulate, I think, a lot of my own stand-up whenever I get out there. You know, there's a lot to be said for going, you know, oh, yeah, like, if I could do a whole thing, I get engaged, you know, or whatever. But I kind of like just the delivery of a piece of comedy. And so in getting that, you never find out things like his father wasn't very supportive. You know, he gave himself a deadline for success. You know, he had this love life he never heard about. He heard about Victoria Tennant, the girl from LA Story and All of Me that he married. But you never heard about anybody else. So now he's currently married and he's got a kid, you know, which is a late in life thing that he decided to get involved in. So all these things are kind of new, and I was excited to hear about all of it. And just to have him open up, I mean, he does a monologue about working with John Candy that just is very emotional.
Wow.
You know, it's not even a monologue. He's just like going through his stuff, and he's talking about this, making that movie, and he just, you know, got emotional, as you can imagine.
Did, in this documentary, I know that in other interviews that he's done in the past and everything, where he's always talked about working at Disneyland, you know, in the magic shop. But does he ever, in this document, does he ever reveal how he learned to play the banjo?
Boy, that's a fair question. I can't actually recall. Yeah, because if you want the story of the birdcage, and I still, when I go to shows there, you know, reach up and put my hand on his photo as I go in for good luck.
Yeah.
And Disneyland as well. Yeah, that's in his book, Born Standing Up, and he goes into it here as well. But the stuff like the banjo, he talks about the banjo and he goofs on kind of playing it a little bit.
Yeah.
But I can't remember how he
because, you know,
it's in there.
That's, yeah, one thing that's always interests me, or has always amazed me, I guess, about Steve Martin is that, you know, the credit is there for Disneyland, but yet there's very little credit for Knott's, for him being at Knott's Berry Farm, which he did after he left Disneyland.
Oh.
Yeah, either way, he talks about seeing Wally Bogue, I think, in both locations.
I didn't know.
Yeah.
There's footage of Wally Bogue, which I never knew as well, at the horseshoe,
uh-huh,
in this movie. So I just never knew that was out there either. So
yeah,
I thought that was cool.
Because I know the man, or knew the man, who taught him how to play banjo.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, cool. What's his name?
Yeah, I knew you were going to ask me that.
That's why he said new.
Yeah, new. New. Well, Steve knew him too, though.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, you did.
I did?
No, not you.
I did.
Steve does.
No, Steve does. I'm doing Steve. I did. What did I know?
He was the head of head of the stuntman.
Bowman?
No, not Bowman. No.
Oh,
I can't think of his name right now. Anyway, yeah, great radio.
Well, the only ones I remember named Bowman, Jay, and
No. Their boss.
Harvey?
Harvey. There you go. God, what was Harvey's last name, though?
Harvey. I don't know, but shit. Referred to his daughter as Still.
Yeah, Still, exactly.
Because no matter what she looked like, she was beautiful.
She's a gorgeous gal.
Yeah.
Anyway. Harvey was one of the guys who was one of the original train bandits for Knott's Berry Farm. Harvey Walker. Harvey Walker. And he also played bluegrass. And he also, his band would every once in a while play at the wagon camp.
Oh.
And this is when the park started to really thrive.
Yeah.
And Harvey was very, very close friends with the Knott family. So it was during that time period when they brought the Birdcage Theater over, they needed actors. Steve Martin auditioned and got to be a part of that troupe, basically, of doing all those melodramas at Knott's Berry Farm. So Harvey got approached by Steve Martin, and he wanted to learn to play banjo because that's what Harvey played, was a bluegrass banjo. He said, that's fine. I'll teach you, but you got to teach me sleight of hand. Because Steve Martin learned all of that at Disneyland working in the magic shop. Mm-hmm. So they traded traits,
cool.
basically. And that's and that story, I was told, by Harvey Walker himself.
Oh, wow.
And so, but it's interesting that Steve has really never mentioned that in any interviews or in or anything, you know, that I've seen him do. You know, occasionally he'll mention nods, but it's always Disney, you know, kind of a thing. So that's why I was kind of curious about this documentary, like if that is really
went into it,
if that's ever mentioned on it, So. So there you go. It's a little bit of history.
I think there's a little more documentary in the second. I'm sorry, documentary. There's a little more banjo in the second documentary.
Okay.
Later in life, you know, playing it, staying happy, doing so, you know. I mean, it's there in the clips from his early years, but I don't know if he's talking much. In fact, he barely shows up in the first doc. There's a lot of voiceover.
Oh, really?
That's a lot of archival stuff. And so it's a unique choice then for the later in life Steve Martin to show up on screen, and then Martin Short shows up, and they like do a lot of joke writing for their show, and it's just hilarious. I mean, that's the funniest part of the whole doc is the two of them just sitting around. You know, this wasn't in the doc, but it's one of my favorite jokes when I saw them live. You know, like they've got this new thing where they just rip each other, which is hilarious. You know,
they're good in a show.
Being friends with what's that?
They're really good in the show.
How great that he's a TV star.
Yo, it was so awesome when I found that show, and I was like, yo, Martin Short is back on TV. Like, it was, yeah, I was loving it, man. It's a fun show.
And that show's a good mystery.
Yes,
so, like,
is.
You know, really they can show. Do all the, they can be all the funny they want because they've got an interesting story told well with, like, you know, creative flashbacks and great monologues and all this other stuff within the mystery, and then they just get to be hilarious on top of it. But yeah, things like, you know, being friends with Steve is like deliverance. It's all fun and games until the banjo comes out, you know. Like that one's not in the movie, but there's tons of crap like that. I just remember that from when I saw it live.
That's funny.
Martin Short. You know, and I never thought I'd see Steve Martin do stand up because he did literally just stop back in the 80, like very early 80s or late 70s. And but if you go see Steve Martin and Martin Short, Steve kind of comes out and opens the show, you know, with like 9 minutes by himself before Marty gets out there and says, like, wow, I'm just watching Steve Martin do stand up. And then one day I saw him at the Walt Disney Concert Hall with the Steep Canyon Rangers playing. It was all bluegrass show. There wasn't even any comedy, except that in between every song, it's kind of like Steve Martin doing stand-up, introducing the song, telling stories, and talking about it. And then he closed with a bluegrass version of King Tut, which I never thought I'd see Steve
Martin. Oh, my gosh. Wow.
My life. You know, so, like, this renaissance that he feels within himself is exciting, and I think this doc shows that. That he's just like still loves this stuff, and we're all the better for it.
Awesome. So, well, looking forward to seeing it. Where can we find that documentary right now?
Apple TV Plus.
Okay.
It's an original of theirs. Yeah, so that I never even made it to theaters, but you can go watch it now. And it's, you know, it's not horribly cinematic or anything. I think you'll just enjoy watching it all. And you know, it's partly emotional too. So it's funny and it's emotional and it's, you know, if he didn't open up. It's good that he opens up at this part of his life anyway. You know, if you ever saw him on an old talk show with, like, Dave Letterman, the bits were just flying, you know, like, he'd show a clip from his movie, but he'd have, like, a pointer, and he'd walk out, and he'd, like, do examination of the scene, or he'd do a magic trip, and let's see how I did that, Dave, and they'd show it back slow motion, but in the slow-mo replay, he's, like, taping flags to the cards and stuff. Like, he's one of the greatest ghosts. He's one of the greatest guests of all time. He always came with bits, but never talked about, like, the personal stuff, and you get that now. And I think at this age, it makes for even a better interview because he's reflective and he's not afraid to open up.
That's cool. Like, one of my favorite bits that he did was on with Carson, and he came out and did the Great Flydini.
The greatest thing ever. And he talks about
it. Oh my God, that is so good. So good. Have you seen that?
Long time ago.
Oh my God, that is so good. I mean, and the thing is, it still works today.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, if somebody masters that, bit and goes out and does it, you're going to get laughs on it no matter what.
He used to just like do it at parties, you know, and so they have clips of like other versions of it before it hit the Tonight Show.
Wow.
Which is fun to watch too. Yeah, there's a lot of never before seen stuff in this.
Oh, that's cool. I'm looking forward to it. Okay, I gotta get Apple TV.
Definitely see those.
Cool. All right. Well, thank you, Paul. Appreciate it, buddy, as always. So we get to see Monkey Martin and Steve Men.
Steve Men.
Yeah, exactly. So go catch both of those. And have fun.
Speaking of Steve, is he just around again? Are you on an ISDN line from another state?
No, I'm actually here in the room.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Anytime, one of the guys or whatever is out, Steve always fills in.
Good man. He's a good man.
He's always available. Thank God. So he's got nothing else to do.
That's for sure.
I will leave you now, but I will return in the summer season, which really starts at the beginning of May. Like next week, we get the Fall Guy, and I'm stoked. So that's got my comedy boyfriend Ryan Gosling in it, and David Leitch, like one of the best action directors around. Mm-hmm. It's going to be awesome. So yeah, we're just about to get in it. Next thing you know, we'll have like Mad Max on our hands, and we'll have ourselves a summer. So,
looking forward to it, buddy.
All right.
Have a good one, my friend. Take care of yourself.
Enjoy your day, brother.
Farewell, all.
All right.
Bye, Paul.
Always good to talk to him.
Yeah, Paul's man.